Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting
Hi,
for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel Brewer, and this is a show we like to call Three's a Crowd, because it's me and Adam Burns and Andy Scott. Hi, guys.
And that's crowded in amongst itself. There's a crowd there.
Yeah.
Just the three of us. It's a crowd.
It is a crowd. However, I will say we take up less space than we did like 5 years ago. Like all of us, I feel like all of us are smaller today.
I believe that could be a statement that has some truth to it.
That's right. And if nothing else, we're dedicated pursuers of the truth here on Three's a Crowd. We don't like to say things that we make up. We don't like to pull things out of our ass. Everything we tell you is deeply researched and impeccably checked for accuracy.
Even ChatGPT tells you that it makes mistakes occasionally. And you should double check.
Everything. Are you referring to something when you say everything is researched? Like everything is not researched? Or like, is there a joke there? Or were you just...
No.
I would think is how long that you have known him, Adam. And he refers to you as his best friend, which means you have an intimacy of affection and understanding.
Auntie Scott, you don't even know the level of intimacy. I have seen him pee in a bathtub. Well, I've heard him pee in a bathtub. I've not seen him pee in a bathtub, but I was steps away.
Were you in it at the time?
No, I was not in it, but I was steps away. I was in a bed steps away from the bathtub.
I also very much like on your last show that you just recorded before this very one, the mix, the gay mix, you said you qualified getting peed on. Who likes getting peed on? By a dog.
I did.
Yes, well, with a nice little... Who likes getting peed on by a dog?
But some people like to be peed on by other humans. I've never heard of anyone saying they... But maybe there are people. But I feel like that would be illegal. If you let a dog pee on you, would that be illegal? Because bestiality is illegal, but peeing...
Ask ChatGPT.
Yeah, I think that's a great
They're not always right.
Yeah.
Because then you could say to the officer, you say, well, officer, I promise you, officer, it was not sexual.
How would you
It was not sexual. Like he peed on me, but there was no... I realized that my pants were down... I promise. Like it was
If someone is sexually aroused by being peed on by a dog, is
your
it
history.
Considered animal cruelty if they encourage the dog to pee
Good
on
Christing
them?
Good Christing fuck.
That's a long question.
Concision isn't your forte.
Jim and I, or whoever that is that's answering you, will be like, I'm so thankful that you gave me so much context.
Flagged your content. No, so it says that yes, encouraging or training a dog to urinate on a person for sexual gratification can be considered a form of animal cruelty.
Well, there you go. Well, don't do that then.
Don't do that.
But who would? Who would enjoy a dog peeing on them?
People enjoy all kinds of things that are legal and not legal. And it was just amusing that you had a caesura sentence. Do you know what a caesura is, Adam?
Yes, I do, because I'm a musician. But can you imagine having
a
horse pee on you?
It's not a musical term. It's
can you imagine the waterfall of urine?
From a horse?
A horse. Yeah. It would be a lot.
A horse is a horse, of course.
Of course.
So, Auntie Scott, how are you? We haven't seen you in a little while.
You know, I am old, and I am bitter, and I am disappointed, and but as in whole, as I like to say.
So the same, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also have to, I do have many joys in my miserable existence.
Yes.
And so it isn't, and I tend to overlook them for the sorrowful. So there's a lot of nice things that happened in my life, including insulin up, waking up every morning to my angel husband. Yes. That's the greatest joy of my life.
Uncle Drew.
Uncle Drew.
Yeah.
Who is downstairs. Guess what he's watching downstairs as we're recording this upstairs?
The Twilight Zone?
No, he's watching Charlie Chan. It's Friday night.
Yeah. You so is that is that just a perpetual tradition now that every Friday night it's going to be that? Or
from, well, it's charted. You must know that my husband is thorough. If nothing else, and there's a lot else, but if nothing else, he is thorough. And what he has done is counted the exact amount of days that are in between our celebrating of the holidays, that would be Halloween and Christmas, and then determined exactly when to start the Friday night viewings of Charlie Chan, because we have a limited number. We have everyone that's available on DVD, mind you, but that is a limited number. So he knows exactly how many Charlie Chans he needs to watch and how many Fridays there are until our Halloween festivities begin, which is September the 19th, when we begin celebrating Halloween.
That's very specific.
It is.
But I see Daniel has a question, so I won't.
Yeah. I have.
Oh, is that what the little hand means?
Yeah, I raised my hand.
That's adorable. Here's, how come you went to the other side of my, just a minute.
Oh, because when you raise your hand, you go to the top of the, you visibly go up to the top of the.
You went all the way to the left. Well, now you're all the way to the right.
I don't know how your screen is set up. Mine is stacked. Like you're on the bottom.
Oh.
Adam's on the top.
I have been on occasion.
And you are also on the bottom for me.
I'm
in the middle on mine. So I guess we're all in the middle. So what was your question, Dan? Did you even ask?
You know what?
No, you didn't.
So Andy Scott had said something. I'm like, oh, I have a question about that. And then I started looking around for the raised hand, and by the time I found the raised hand, I forgot what the question was.
Oh, well.
So the sativa gummy is kicking in at this particular time.
So let's
all raise our vape pens.
Yeah. Right. I will. I've pulled my notepad over now, so I will scribble down.
Well, what I was talking about was that my husband determines all of these things for exact dates and times and how many chans we have until our festivities begin on September 19th and when to start them so that we run out exactly at the perfect time.
You should publish that on a blog.
On a blog? Well, that's how I started my online presence was Vera Speaks. And that's why my podcast became Vera Speaks for Real, because I really started talking for real then.
So there is,
I did an award-winning podcast.
I remember
one of my
favorite
things.
I remember
where
I parked my bike. Okay.
One of my favorite things to do is interrupt you.
I know you do.
But if you just listen to me,
then everything will be solved here. I understand what is happening now and why your sound is so erratic to me is you need to turn your headphones up, because what you're doing now is you're speaking louder to the microphone as if you're talking to a speakerphone because you're not hearing yourself.
I just removed one ear.
No. My point is that just if you, in your normal conversational tones, your sound is excellent. But when you're shouting at the mic, you can shout all you want, but it sounds like you're talking to the speakerphone across the room. You know what I'm saying? And that's typically a sign that your headphones aren't loud enough. I don't have
me in my headphones.
Oh, then there you go. That's
nor do I know how to rectify that situation, as it were, in every
Daniel
shall be
telling a voice actor,
How to work the mic.
But he's going to be obsessed with this now, Auntie Scott, because you threatened us to never appear on here again if you didn't sound good on this episode.
Over the course of your career, how many engineers did you cause to quit? Like, how many engineers quit because you... if I ever sound like that, God damn it, you'd like had the 220 hertz band was 5 ticks out of sync.
You done yet? Are you done now?
Yeah.
Because I would like to answer your question.
Okay, please do.
The engineers used to get joyful and joyous when I would walk in the door because they knew they weren't going to have an issue with me. They knew they weren't going to have a diva. They knew they weren't going to have a... They knew they... they would have someone who could work the mic, who knew what they were doing, who could do it well and do it quickly and do the lines and get the fuck out. So they were always very pleased when they saw Auntie Scott walking in.
Wow, they called you that as well? Isn't it amazing how that's just kind of followed you around your whole life?
Well, my mother, when I was born, my mother called me Auntie Scott. I have no idea why.
I thought you were named after your aunt.
My Auntie Scott?
No, just your aunt. Your mom just couldn't remember her name. She's like, Auntie. Just call me.
Well, actually, when my mother was born, her mother, who had come from Armenia, did not understand the question that was being asked of her. And the question that was being asked of her was, what is your child's name? What is your little girl's name? When my mother was born. My mother's mother thought she was asking what her name was. And so she said her name, which is Mary. So on my mother's birth certificate is Mary. That's not her name.
No.
But that's what's on the birth certificate. Now, the only thing that makes that a good story is it lightens up and makes this podcast so much fun to listen to.
Oh, it does. Yeah. People.
Yeah, go ahead.
People like mundane stories. This is not a joke. I enjoy mundane stories on podcasts. I really like hearing about people's like life, and it's a great segue because now what we're going to do is we're going to tell a mundane story, and I have one.
Wait, was that an assignment?
Because my life is mundane.
That was an assignment. We're supposed to have a mundane story though.
Well, it's not an assignment. If you don't have one, then we don't have to.
My life is a fucking mundane story.
But we said we were going to, we're avoiding the news. So we're going to tell a mundane story of our life. That was in an email the producer sent a long time ago. So anyway, I'm really excited about this, but I don't know if you guys have experienced this. So I kind of want to get,
you're looking very good,
advice.
By the way, Adam.
Thank
you're
you.
Looking good. You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Daniel?
Adam loves it when you interrupt him, too.
Go ahead.
I do. I do like it.
Well, he handles a lot better than you do.
So, I don't remember where I was in the story, but I will say I'm excited about this, but I also have some nervousness about this because of having a partner. We are going to be doing landscaping.
Yes.
But your partner is so easygoing.
And... So we're going to be doing landscaping and I'm excited, and we got the first design back, and there are some things that we need to tweak with it, but there are some things that I really like about it. And I know this is going to be a really expensive thing to have it done, like when you have a backyard done or whatever. And the first thing I don't know exactly what it'll be, but I think on the cheap end, if we pay to have this done, we're looking $40,000-$50,000 on the cheap end to plant trees and do paths and a deck and, things like that, right? So, I don't know, is it worth it to spend that kind of money on a house? Will that raise the, and I could Google this, but I mean, I'm on a podcast with two people. We need content. So, is it worth it to do things like, have flower beds dug and have gravel path, because it's a very big backyard. So like a gravel path, and put in like raised garden beds and a deck and things like that. Is it worth it? Or is that more of a thing that you just go, hey, I'm going to spend this money because it's going to make me enjoy this house more. You know what I'm saying? So which of those two things would you say work in the yard is? You know what I'm saying?
I would say that there are two reasons to do it. Mm-hmm. One, you have to determine how long you're going to be there. Is that your forever home?
And it's not forever, but I would say, 10 years or more.
Then I would question how much joy it is going to give you on a daily basis. And then I would weigh the joy to the cost. So is it 45 grand worth of joy that you'd get daily for 10 years?
Right.
And then you have to amortize that 45 grand daily over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And that's how much you're paying for day to look at the flower beds and the garden paths and the new patio and all of that stuff. This is our, this is Uncle Drew's and my forever home. We are not going anywhere ever. So every improvement we make is for us. It isn't to sell. It's for us. And what I have found is that every little improvement that we have done, including recently getting a new screened-in Cabana de Lobo Dos.
I saw that.
In the backyard.
Yeah, I saw it.
If you saw my staycation video on YouTube, and I hope everyone has run over to Antivir Charles 50 and watched my vacation video. Staycation.
I love the 50 Anti Vera Charles. Anti Vera Charles 501372.
I was 50 when I made that YouTube channel. So I thought, oh, Anti Vera Charles 50.
Oh, so Anti Vera Charles was available, but you decided to put the 50 at the end of it?
Well, it may, what I don't know if it was available or not, but I wanted to put the 50 on there because I was, I was 50, you were 50. Boy. I made it to 50.
It's kind of like,
I know.
It's kind of like putting UK in your email address, even though you don't live there anymore. Yeah.
It's always going to be there, Daniel. No, it's all right. Always going to be saying, there.
Just it's rich for someone who is adamburns.uk@gmail.com that you're making fun of him for being Anti Vera Charles 50 on YouTube. I'm just saying that's, I find that interesting.
Well, we all make decisions hilarious. At points in our lives.
Would you like my opinion?
Yeah. I mean, sure.
Were you done, Auntie yes. Scott?
Oh,
I've been done since about 2006, I think.
So my question's very well. My thoughts are similar in it depends on how long you're going to stay there, and you've already answered that. However, your other question was, would it increase the value of the house? Blah blah blah. I feel like.
Did he really say blah 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 blah?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, and, I missed that part.
Well, there's an AI assistant on this Zoom thing that you can ask, and it will read it back to you. Anyway, or it'll type it back to you. I think if you go into the chat, right? Can't you ask the AI?
I think so, but
What? We're
going to lose your bike again, Daniel.
Concern about the landscaping. All right. So it depends on, sorry, you're not going to be there forever, but.
Not forever.
So like if you were going to be there forever, I'd say like, oh, you can plant much smaller trees for less cost. You could probably cut down a lot of that cost by going with a lot younger trees and just waiting longer for them to grow. But
a deck is the most expensive thing, though, and that's like a necessity. That's okay. The main thing we need.
Then here's my question to you and what it all hinges on. Are you going to spend time outside on your deck?
I would like to think that I'm going to spend time out on my deck. I want to.
Okay.
I want to.
Then the... Yeah.
Are you bothered by bugs when you're outside?
I've been to your house. You have zero privacy. So if this is what it takes, if this is what it takes to make your backyard something that you're comfortable going out and, you know, staying on your deck, then yeah, it's absolutely worth it because you're going to use it. And that there's no value. You can't really place the value on that. By the way,
we're going to do it. We're going to do it. But the one thing is Mark just always defers to me. I'm like, well, what do you want to do? What do you think we should do? He's like, I'm going to let you take the lead on this.
Mark has and it's a grow such an expensive all around thing. The house. There are plants all throughout your flower beds and everything that Mark takes care of. He has a little potting station in there. Just like, he's going to love more flower beds out in the back. It's like, so yeah, it'll be stuff for him
well,
to do.
Well, it's just when it's something that expensive, when it was just me single and I would just like, whatever, I could just decide. But now you have to think about, well, this is not just my money. This is someone else's money as well. And so that's the other part that gives me a little bit of agita, I guess, is the word for it.
Or you could do like us normal people do and, you know, finance it.
Well, we are going to, but it's still both our money. Yeah, because you don't want to spend that much. You don't want to spend a huge, big chunk of money out of. You want to keep your money and investing and whatever and mostly do that. But anyway, okay, well, there you go. That's my mundane thing. I'm excited about it, though. This weekend we're going to go over the changes and send those back to the landscaper. And then once we get those back, we will start talking to contractors. And I'm hoping we at least have a deck this summer. So we'll see. So who's next? Who has a Auntie Scott?
Yes.
Do you have a mundane story?
a mundane. I forgot to take my heart medicine last night.
Oh my God.
For the first time in, well, since I've been taking it. And I went downstairs and I sat in my downstairs chair and I looked over at my little pill taker. Mm-hmm. And Thursday was still closed. And it's Friday today. So I had a mini meltdown panic. Oh my God. 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 Mm. But basically all you do is you, if it's less than 6 hours away or more than 6 hours away from when you normally would take your dose, you just take it.
Yeah.
And don't worry about the skipped one. And if it's closer than 6 hours, you wait till your regular time to take it and you take it. So it isn't a big deal.
It's not.
But it was a major, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's pretty mundane, right?
Yeah, that's
pretty mundane.
I would say.
I mean, yeah. I was thinking maybe you fell down the stairs.
That wouldn't be mundane.
Or, you know, you passed out.
Wait, mundane means like ordinary. Do you believe he normally falls down the stairs?
No, although one time he couldn't get up. I remember that.
Boy, that was when I was petting my cat
What you called it back then?
That's why we
still call it.
Oh, okay.
Come here, pussy, pussy, pussy.
Yeah.
That's why okay.
Here, pussy, pussy.
That's why we got him that life alert.
That when I threw my back out, is he talking about that, Adam? When I threw my back out?
Yeah, you threw your back out and you couldn't move.
I leaned over to pet the fucking cat and I was sitting on the floor and the cats had a room of their own up here. And I was sitting on the floor of the cat's room and I bent over, just leaned over to pet him. And my back decided that, no, I'm not going to be your back anymore. I'm going to try to move around to your front. And it
Sometimes my fingers do that. Do you ever have a finger lock up? Like when you're writing or something?
Depending on where it is.
I have a finger that'll lock up.
Well, see, you don't get another mundane story, Adam. You already had yours.
No, that's true. So. That's true. Tim, well, but I'm glad you're still alive is what I'm saying.
Thank you.
Tim in Alaska says our landscaping phase one ran about 90,000.
Oh God, Tim. Shh. Don't say it.
I don't trust anybody who names their house. I'm sorry, Tim. You know, I greatly respect you.
Now,
you've named your house and that just troubles me.
Our previous house, we called the Stitch House because the street address was 626. And that was part of the reason that we bought the house. But that's not.
Well, Fatty calls his house Fat Acres. So
why is it that we're talking about him?
Are you desperate?
Are you desperate to get his attention and be on his?
He doesn't even subscribe to Level 3.
He literally just comes out of my mouth all the time.
Let's talk about mundane stories. Wow.
All right. Well,
what's your mundane story?
I didn't prepare a mundane story,
but I know you thought of one.
But there's just nothing mundane in my life. Everything in my life is exceptional and wonderful. So there's no mundanity here. But I was thinking this. While we were talking, or while you guys were talking about your stories, so Adam, you know, has his side hustle, the Mighty Ducks spelled with a Q, right? And I'm now considering opening an Etsy store selling vintage travel posters, and I'm thinking, you know what? You need a side hustle, Auntie Scott. And I have an idea here for you. And I'm just two words.
He needs a side hustle?
Yes. Oh, yes. Because it's the thing to do, Adam. We all need a side hustle. Well, Auntie Scott. Here's your side hustle. Two words. You're going to put them together to make one URL. Chancron. That's the idea.
Okay.
And what you're going to do.
The chronology of Charlie Chan movies.
You're going to give the definitive chronological order that you should watch the Chaniverse in for maximum understanding and enjoyment of it. And you can then branch out to all of the other shit because that's what I'm looking at. When you're doing a side hustle, you should play to your strengths. And your strengths are watching the same content over and over and over again.
Is this your mundane story?
Yes. You.
Okay, because it's really going on too long.
Okay, that was my idea.
No, you need to No, Daniel, exactly. if I don't give you grief, we don't have a relationship.
It could be Chan Cron. It could be Father Knows Best Cron. It could be, you know, you could have a whole Cron universe here.
I love Lucy.
I love Lucy Cron.
Lucy Cron.
I'll take it under consideration.
Or just
Daniel.
Do like Adam did, where he bought like podcast maps, like get a generic URL, you know, like a generic like the Chroniverse. Oh, it's the Chroniverse. There you go. It's the cranky Chroniverse. It's like a cranky man tells you the correct order to watch old things in.
Although the fact that I got podcastmaps.com, and that's such a long ago trend of people putting a pin on a map for a podcast, yeah, means it's not popular anymore. Well, it's so not, it's already not, past yeah, its prime, you know?
I mean, all podcasts nowadays are corporate podcasts. So
we did have an assignment.
We did.
And we're gonna talk about, so we watched a show. Now, Auntie Scott, first of all, the question is, and I don't
that
remember.
That would be me.
I don't remember the title of the show again.
It was called,
I mean, it was Twilight Zone, but
Time Enough at Last. Time Enough
at Last.
At Last. Would you like me to give you the details of the episode? Just, you know, an overview of the episode. I do have that.
Maybe our listener would like to hear that.
Time Enough at Last is the 8th episode of the first season of the iconic television series, The Twilight Zone. It first broadcast on November 20th, 1959. This episode has cemented its place in fan favorite and a defining moment within the anthology's impressive run. It was written by Rod Serling, and it is, like I said, it's the 8th episode of the first season. So,
I was trying to figure out how old Rod Serling would have been at this time, because I was looking at his hands to see if they looked old or whatever, because I think people looked older back then. So he was probably, would you say he was in his 40s when he was doing that?
What year was it? 50 what?
59.
Oh, I don't.
Alexa, how old was Rod Serling in 1959?
Any of us could have asked.
Rod Serling, 5 on December 20th. Born in 19.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So he looks 39. A little older than that, but but I was just curious about that. So yeah.
By the way, because you're going to hear this on the recording, Auntie Scott, we couldn't hear Alexa because we have your.
You have my volume crunched.
Yeah.
So that no one will be able to hear me either. And I'm going to sound like shit with two cans and a string, and you're going to sound fine. Just like last time.
Two cans.
Yeah.
Two cans.
Yeah, was that a joke in the chat room when Kathy Marshall said two cans?
Oh, dear God. Okay. Welcome to 20 minutes ago. Yes. That was a joke that Kathy Marshall made in the chat room.
Yeah. We will all sound great. So, Auntie Scott, my first question for you is, did you rewatch this episode?
I did indeed. Yesterday.
Yeah.
I did.
I watched it today, and Daniel, did you watch the episode?
I watched it twice. I watched it last week and fell asleep, and I went back and watched the pieces today that I had fallen asleep during.
Okay.
I took notes.
So
I took notes.
So who wants to start?
It wouldn't be me because.
Okay. Well, I'll start since I'm talking already. I watched it today. Like I said, I did. Now this has nothing against the show. But I did try to watch it last night in bed, but I always fall asleep when I start watching something in bed. It always, so I fell asleep. So I had to rewatch it today. It was fine. So my first comment is a really just stupid, mundane comment, but those glasses on that guy were like, I don't know. And I don't know if that was for comedic effect or if that's what glasses looked like back then, back in that day, because they were.
Well, allow me to interject each time that one of these issues comes up. Mm-hmm. That was a method by which the director was showing you, the actor was showing you, and the writer was showing you just how blind he was without his glasses. So it was way over exaggerated, ridiculously over exaggerated, in order to show you that without them, he can't see shit.
Okay. But I mean, was there any comedic effect meant there, or was it more just, hey, we want you to know? Because I did get that he was half blind or whatever from that. So
I'm not going to be able to speak for the writer or the director, but I don't think, I mean, there were moments when he was, when Burgess Meredith was talking to the people at the bank, when his eyes behind those glasses got huge, when he was talking about Mr. Micawber or Murdstone. So it worked in his favor for effect. So who knows? I don't know.
Here's a fun fact. They actually had two sets of glasses that they used for this particular
close shots and far shots.
So for the far away shots, the glasses were not.
That's so he could see where he was walking.
He was walking, yes. And even then, he seemed to slip several times on steps and stuff.
I think that may have been acting choices because it's eventually his undoing is him stumbling a little bit.
So overall, what did you think, Adam? Did you enjoy the show? Did you not enjoy the show?
I enjoyed it. You know, one thing that kind of, I did enjoy it because, so to me, so basically he likes to read. I didn't understand. I still had a couple more comments. I didn't understand why his wife was so dead set on him not reading. I mean, I understand that it's just to kind of set up the story, but it's like, what wife comes in and says, don't read? Or was that, you know, or I'm thinking, was that a thing back then that like men weren't supposed to read because, you know, they're men or something? I don't know. I was like, why in the hell does she not want him to read so bad that she's marking out his pages?
In a half an hour program, you are very, very limited. And the half an hour ends up to be 27 minutes back then because they had to stick in 3 minutes of commercials.
Could you,
when you have a half an hour, you can't develop a lot of these characters and give them a concrete motivation as to why she was like that. It worked towards the story that she was like that because the concept was, is that this poor man could not get a second to himself to enjoy what he, one of the things, if not the thing that he enjoyed more than anything else, which was getting lost in literature. And he, and there was one person after another that were overbearing and awful and keeping him from doing that. And the vehicle was to show you how prevented from enjoying himself he was, as opposed to why his boss was a prick, why his wife was a bitch, why all those other things.
Well, it was also to show the downfalls of anti-intellectualism, right? Everyone around him was trying to prevent him from reading and whatnot. It was a very, kind of like being set up to be an anti-intellectualism argument there of like, these people,
almost,
you know, society does not want you to read. And like, this is the one thing that you want to do, right? You want to learn and people are against you learning. There's roadblocks.
Almost everything that Rod Serling ever wrote on the surface was very different than what he intended it to be underneath. So it's entirely possible that, that intellectualism or the fight against intellectualism was what he was wanting to express. The reason that I picked this particular episode for you guys to watch, because the question was, do you have a black and white show that you think is really exceptional? And whatever the question was, and the thing that popped into my head was absolutely The Twilight Zone was amazing. It was an amazing show and it was a groundbreaking show, but it was also made in the 50s and 60s. And when viewing something that's made in the 50s or 60s, you have to go back in your mind to a mindset that's very different than the one that people have today. And you have to understand where the world was and what people were fighting against and what people were fighting for. It colors what you're watching because unless the piece was written in the 30s, what's funny?
Pun intended.
Oh, what did I say?
You said it colors.
It colors. Oh. No, I'm not that clever. So it was no pun intended at all.
Okay.
That's why I picked The Twilight Zone, because it was a groundbreaking black and white program, and you were looking for really good old television. And then you asked me to pick a particular episode, and that's the first one that popped into my head. I have several episodes of The Twilight Zone that I feel are incredibly consequential to filmmaking, to television, to writing, the man was really remarkable. Rod Serling was remarkable in the things that he wrote and the messages that he got across through fiction. The same with the original series of Star Trek. Gene Roddenberry got away with so much social commentary by putting it in the future and by putting it. There was an episode where you got one guy who's half white and half black, and the other guy's half white and half black, but the colors are on the different sides of their face. So the guy with black on the right side hates the guy with black on the left side. The guy with black on the left side hates the guy with black on the right side. It was obviously a commentary on racism. But the other thing about Time Enough at Last is it really introduced one of the first, well, that's not true, but one of the biggest twist endings, which Twilight Zone was famous for. To have it end up that way for this poor man, because there was time now. There was time enough at last. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But he couldn't see.
He broke his glasses. He could have gone and found a magnifying glass. He could have gone and he had found a gun just laying around. So certainly there's things that survive. He's like, he could have learned Braille. It was a very large library. Certainly that Braille came out in 1859. So he would have had, that library would have had a well-stocked section of Braille books. He could have taught himself.
Well, how do you know that there wasn't a sequel?
I'm just saying, it's like...
Yeah, but you know
broke
what?
His fingers.
As he was fondling his broken glasses and the pieces of glass were falling out.
Yes.
My first thought was Brewer's going to say he could just pick up one of those pieces and look through it.
I thought that. I did think that.
But... Yeah, I know. I know. But the
it's not the point.
We're optimists.
Exactly.
We're optimists. Don't poo on us for being optimists.
I would never poo on you because it's illegal in many, many
surely
states.
Surely one of those dead bodies has glasses. He could walk around and find somebody else's. Right. He could hold it close enough to his face or far enough. There's that sweet spot.
There will just never be
okay.
an opportunity for the meeting of the minds on
I enjoyed it. I think... that we are in an age of every TV show needs to be something that you have to think a lot. And I feel like a lot of those, not that they were less complex, but the stories are simpler.
Yeah.
But from those shows back then. And so it's an enjoyable thing for me to just kind of let it, relax and just watch it. I liked it.
I often get accused of hating all things that are black and white.
And only because you've said it yourself. Who's accusing you?
Batance.
We're just repeating what you've said.
It's mainly Batance. But the thing is, I think I can
By the way, was that too loud?
No, that was fine.
Okay, Do you guys have Apple TV?
No.
They only have...
Prime and Netflix.
Prime and Netflix.
If we're going to go on another service, we just need to gift them a month of it or something. Anyway, I'm fine if you want to go off service, because I was trying to think what the hell's on. Anyway, what was I saying?
You were talking about the fact.
Oh, I know what it is. Got it.
Okay.
So it's not just black and white that has nothing to do actually with it being black and white. What it is the style, right? The style of the time, the editing style, the filming style, the acting style. These are all things that were done, because of their recording medium, because of the recording techniques that they had to use, and for the filming techniques they had to use, technology hadn't caught, I think Adam and I both, I'm the very first MTV generation, right? Where the editing, the very rapid editing, if a shot lingers for more than a second on modern television, it's like they're trying to tell you something, right? It's like the shots just don't linger in the same way. And that older style is very much meandering. And I think that's why Adam and I both fell asleep during watching this, is because there are times I wrote down here. It's like, dear God, it took him 26 minutes to pick up those pages from the poetry book that she ripped out. It was just like, he took forever to pick up those pages.
Well, like, you could have been vaping at the time. And then, you know, everything feels like it's much further.
It took
much further.
15 minutes for him waking up. Walking down to the safe because he had to sneak around the office and then go down the stairs and then hide and whatever and go into the, and then he took a fully lit cigarette in, laid down on a couch with a wool blanket and fell asleep with a fucking cigarette in his hand. And then
I'm glad it was dirt. I'm glad there was dirt there because I thought the couch was gonna burn up. And I'm not making fun. I really thought the couch was going to, because I was like, what's the twist going to be? You know? And I thought so when the cigarette dropped that he was going to go up in flames or something. Cause I know Twilight Zone has those twists at the end.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just not a style of that editing. I recognize that this was
that an English sentence you just said?
What did I say?
I'm not a style of that editing.
I'm not a style of that editing.
I'm not a style of that editing. I'm not either, actually. I haven't been a style of that kind of editing in a long
time. I'm not a fan of that editing
long
style.
Time.
Wow.
I'm not a fan.
It's like when Gary earlier said that something about Pete Buttchecker. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not an edit of that styling. Yeah. I'm not a style of that edifying.
Well, wanted us to watch, but I can't find streaming.
Can I finish what I was trying to say? So I'm not a fan. But I recognize.
If you speak in English sentences, yes, please finish.
I recognize that for its time, it was it was the first time. It's like saying, oh, Shakespeare is so cliche, whatever, like he originated, right? So a lot of these things, which are now actually cliche, are, this was the origin of those things, right? You can't really accuse Rod Serling of being cliche. He was the one that invented the things that everyone just keeps repeating, right? So I reckon, overall, I liked it. I just, there was a lot. It really felt long. You know what I'm saying? It was like, I would love to see a modern take on this with modern like editing styles and a little bit more, you know.
Yeah, it would be 3 minutes long.
Well, no, I'm saying that. Well, that
he loves to read. No one wants him to read. It blows right. up.
But then I feel
glasses break.
But then I feel like you could make more of those anti-intellectualism arguments. So you would be able to make a denser story with modern editing techniques. That's all I'm trying to say. Anyway, I understand the thing. I also I found some trivial things about the show.
Okay.
I have to find them here in my list.
Is talking for a half an hour about this show going to bore the shit out of anybody listening to us?
No, they listen to us talk about nothing for an hour and a half on the after show. We literally talk about nothing on the after show. So
I feel like I've
they
told
love
you,
it. They feel, eat it up.
I feel like I've told you the main trivia thing, which is there are two pairs of glasses. Mm-hmm. The rest of the things are just, it won a lot of awards. Rod Serling is one of his favorites, one of his personal favorite episodes out of the 92 episodes. Blah, 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 blah. Blah.
There is also an element of nostalgia that I possess, that I am influenced by, that you children aren't.
Yes.
I grew up with that program.
Right. And I get that.
Second run, mind you, because in 59 I was only 3. I am old, but I'm not.
In the same way that I grew up with Gilligan's Island on every day and the Brady Bunch on every day because it was all in syndication.
Exactly. Yeah. So there is an element of nostalgia, but I also, I think what I, because I am deeply entrenched in the entertainment industry in that it's been my entire life.
Right.
So it has had an enormous impact on my life.
Chan Kron, from
viewing to participating, it's been my life. And so the shows like The Twilight Zone and specifically Time Enough at Last, they represent all kinds of stuff to me, as well as being the first of groundbreaking shit. I mean, it really was, there wasn't a show ever on on television like The Twilight Zone. It was a first time. So, yeah, I understand not appreciating it because I don't appreciate a lot of what people are going nuts for now. Mm-hmm. I'll watch a series that's recommended to me and think to myself.
Self,
I think. Mm-hmm. What are they seeing in this? What is it that is moving them? What is it that is bringing them in and keeping them going? Because I'm not getting it. Now, one that I just watched that is just the opposite of that, that absolutely blew me away, was Adolescence. Have you seen Adolescence?
I don't have.
Oh, yes. Yes. I have. It was very good.
Highly recommend it for many reasons. Technically, it's fascinating because I think that there are 6 episodes, Adam, of it, or?
I think it was four.
Four. Okay,
I think it was four. Yeah. Four episodes.
And they're an hour long or around an hour each, but each episode is only one take. They don't ever cut the camera. So technically how they did it, especially if you go into the how we shot this shit, which is the title of their documentary, How We Shot This Shit. I jest. It's
I
live on YouTube. On YouTube. I'm obsessed with YouTube, and I have people that I watch on a regular basis on YouTube, and then if I've run out of them, I go searching on YouTube for shit. So there are a couple of how it was made documentaries about the shots in Adolescence, and it was stunning. From them running with the camera over to a drone that's hovering, hooking the camera up to the drone takes off and goes to a completely different area of the city, comes down and films the scene that's going on in the parking lot that the drone went to. It's unbelievable. And it's all one shot. It's all one take. It really is fascinating.
It is. Yeah. It's crazy. So, okay.
Can we finish with the Twilight Zone thing?
Please. Yeah.
Are we?
I wasn't finished with Twilight Zone.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not a Stanley of that fetiding.
So the one thing that I, when I was researching trivia for that episode and stuff, the one thing that I found that I'm very excited about is that there is a lot of memorabilia from the Twilight Zone episodes inside the Tower of Terror at Hollywood Studios here at Walt Disney World. So there's...
And used to be in the Tower of Terror here.
Yes.
Oh, used to be in the Tower of Terror here. Probably helps if I talk into the microphone as opposed to having a conversation with my monitor, isn't always the best.
So I was very excited because you have sworn that you and Drew at some point are coming here and doing the whole Disney thing. You're going to let me take you through the park. You're going to do what Adam wouldn't do. You're going to give me full control to just do the best of everything.
Yep. Absolutely.
I don't feel like I didn't let you do that, but okay. Sure.
I mean, you didn't. You let me do it. That's fine. You let me plan the Disney trip.
I did.
I get the feedback from you every time. It's just like, he made me walk for like 3 fucking days. And it's even though I tell you ahead of time, you're going to be walking for 3 fucking days. You should probably prepare.
Just
for that.
Not getting any younger.
You should probably
just not getting any younger.
The week before your trip, you should probably practice standing because you're going to be standing a lot. And those are different muscles than walking. So just practice standing while you're watching TV. Just stand for a half hour or so. And
rent a rollator.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm like,
my partner is a bus driver. And if you show up in an ECV, he will have a fucking conniption.
You can drive me in your truck and we'll just have it in the back. Yeah, that'll work. Mm. You should do that, Auntie Scott. You and Uncle Drew both.
Do what? Visit
when you're visiting,
get an ECV,
and you're doing whatever.
A bus, absolutely,
a bus
just
can
to
only,
drive Zach crazy.
Only a bus can only fit 2 per bus, so that means they would have to wait for a bus that had no other ECV in it. So they may be waiting a long time for a bus and getting cranky.
Maybe. Can you race the bus in it?
No.
I mean, you probably wouldn't win.
I could give it a good shot, though. especially Daniel, if Zach was driving.
Do we have any more trivia?
About the Twilight Zone? No.
About the Twilight Zone.
Have you become a Flavin of their cemetery now?
No, I am not a okay, fan. Okay,
so
of their
we're done
editing.
With that. So we can do.
Oh, we're done with that. Wow, that's a great transition. I love that. That's like my favorite transition ever. Okay, we're done with that. All right.
So we need to pick something for the next one. And I was struggling to find a black and white one. So do you want to tell us another Twilight Zone episode? And then next time I'll be more prepared.
Wait, what is this? We're
going to do it
again.
How
long are we in black and white hell?
Do you have a show that you want us to watch?
What's the criteria? So his criteria was
shows that we like.
What is a black and white show that is what was it? Was it that was good or
exceptional?
Exceptional.
Yeah, exceptional.
What is
but we can do exceptional any show. It doesn't have to be black and white. But I was actually looking at. I think you guys are going to think this is trash.
All right. What?
Knott's Landing.
I've never watched Knott's Landing.
Knott's Landing was a spinoff of Dallas that I loved when I was a kid.
I think it was up against Falcon Crest, and my dad loved Falcon Crest.
Something like that.
Yeah, I was the youngest. I didn't control the television. So, no,
Did you ever watch Knott's Landing, Auntie Scott?
Never did, no. Never watched any of those, the Dallases or the Knott's Landings or the 90210s or any of those.
Is there a particular episode that we're
thinking episode one we would watch.
And it's available on what service?
Prime.
On Amazon Prime. And it's not Falcon Crest. It's what?
Knott's Landing.
Knott's Landing.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this is an exceptional show.
Then why are we watching?
I'm saying I really enjoyed it when I was growing up. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's like, you know.
When was the last time you watched it?
When I was a kid.
Because let me tell you, I have been bitten. I have been bitten by this hard.
But doesn't that make it more interesting if we come back and we're like, oh my God, that was the worst piece of shit I've ever seen. I mean, that could be interesting, right?
One moment, please.
It's brief.
Well, it could be interesting. Amber. Oh, God, he scared me.
Hi, Zach.
No, he can't hear you. I mean, you can wave. You can make things at him, but he can't hear you. You going to bed?
I'll go get less than 3 hours of sleep. Yeah.
He has to get up at 3 to go to his race.
Good luck.
So, goodbye.
And don't.
Have
fuck it
fun.
Up. As RuPaul says.
Yes.
So that's it. Knott's Landing. Knott's Landing episode one.
On Prime.
On Prime. For next time, which is going to be, we don't know when.
We don't
but
know.
Roughly a month.
Roughly.
Something like that.
See, now I need to understand the pattern. So
there's no pattern. We're just watching a TV show that we like.
Oh, I know it. I was mid trying to warn you about memories. Like I remember loving Buckaroo Banzai Adventures Across the Eighth Dimension as a young twink. Like it was like I would watch that movie 2 or 3 times. Like it was like, you know, in a week. I was like, you know, I watched that movie a lot.
Oh, I watched He-Man a lot, and I've tried to go back and watch that now. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, his name's Adam, he's hot.
I'm just going to tell you.
I mean, how?
If you haven't recently watched Knott's Landing.
Perfect time.
Could be quite jarring.
Yeah, could be. We'll see how it goes.
I want to set you up for that.
I also want to watch an episode of something Auntie Scott voiced.
Murder She Wrote?
Go to my IMDb page and you'll see everything I've ever done.
Yeah, so I'll have to find something streaming that we can watch and comment on.
I heard him once at the end of a Phineas and Ferb cartoon as a professor or something, archaeologist or something like that. He was like an archaeologist from the future going, oh, dear God. And I was like, that's
Auntie Scott.
I was like, that's Auntie Scott's voice.
All right. Yeah. Well, those were the segments I had. Anything else we want to talk about?
Wow. It's fucking electric.
I know. He is the best.
They're going to come begging me to start a podcast again.
He is the best at transitions. Adam is.
No, I'm not worried about transitions. I'm talking about content.
Oh. What are you talking about?
I don't have a trellis in front of me, so I have no idea if there's anything more coming.
No, there's nothing more. We can talk about whatever you would like to talk
about. We can talk about whatever you'd like to talk about.
Oh, I don't have it. I would like to say that the news about Ramble was shocking and saddening, and he was a very nice guy, and it's very sad that way too young to die, way too young to get sick and die like that. But sorry, Adam, there's once again proof that there is no wonderful benevolent power looking out for us, because there ain't no justice in February 24th. This is what you got. March 25th or whenever you're not, or April, whatever. Now you're dead. It's ridiculous. So just for that moment to say, acknowledge that he was a huge part of Pride 48, because he was one of the OGs.
Yeah. It's always, I never know how to, like, when people pass away or die, like in the community, I don't ever know exactly what to do, because I'm just not good with that kind of stuff. So,
well, there, you know, and I understand that. There really isn't anything to say, right, other than, you know, you have whatever you feel, whatever, if it hurts your heart or if it, you don't give a shit or whatever. But I think we put too much pressure on ourselves to have some kind of a balm of Gilead with words.
You need to be poignant, you know, and, like whatever you say, not, or like whatever the case may be.
You know, and that's one really, really nice thing that happens when you get old or older, because I'm not ancient, but I'm really close to ancient. 69 is not always a good number in May. But one of the things that you do learn is that, or you gain the feeling of, is that, how do I express this? That, not that you can say whatever you want, but saying your truth is probably the most important thing that you've got. And it doesn't really matter that much what other people think about what your truth is. That doesn't go into being hurtful or being unkind. Those are things that should always be avoided. But speaking what you feel, even if it's simplistic, even if, wow, that really makes me sad that Ramble's dead, that's all you'd ever need to say, that he died like that or whatever.
Yeah, and I would.
Go ahead.
Well, I would just say I didn't know him that well, but he seemed like a really nice guy. And I do think it's sad for someone to die so young. So, yeah, I mean, it was sad. And I feel for his partner.
Yep.
Because his partner is his husband. I felt the same about Archer's husband, because I just can't imagine what they must be going through.
No.
So, yeah.
It's awful.
It sucks.
I mean, so I did want to mention him on this just to memorialize that, but I really don't have, I didn't know him well at all. I had a lot of interaction when I was doing my podcast way back when with everybody in Pride 48, but in the beginning it was Ramble and John Ong, and then I was interacting with Madge Weinstein and Wanda Wisdom and all that stuff in the beginning. But it's amazing, as we get older, the people that start dropping. And this is a really sad topic we'll get off of right now, because it is,
well,
one of the things, as we get older, the people around us get older as well, even though it doesn't seem like they will, they do. And then life does what it does. Life decides.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those things that you're going to experience more and more, Adam, is as you get older.
People dying.
People die. Because, like, Ramble was 60, right? But Val Kilmer is younger than me. Val Kilmer was 3 years younger than me. It's like there's...
No, Val Kilmer was 65.
Oh, I thought he was 55. Everyone kept saying 55.
They were wrong.
Okay.
Kathy Marshall corrected them in the
Well, Kathy Marshall
room.
Always corrects people.
She has the answers.
She is. She is.
Researcher.
She's also funny as fuck.
How funny is fuck?
Fucking can be, depending on how it's done, incredibly amusing. Mm-hmm. Fuck faces are very funny oftentimes. And the final fuckface is often very hysterical. But that's a topic that is only a little bit less interesting than death.
Well, so, Daniel has an interesting topic, I think. You were going to talk about something on the show that you said we would talk about here.
Okay, what was that?
The AI
restriction. I want to know. Well, we can, but we could talk about Labyrinth as well. So one of the things that happened... Another good example of being disappointed with a memory of something. We were in Atlanta and went to the Puppetry Arts Museum, and they had a Jim Henson exhibit and got to see a lot of really, really cool original Henson Muppets that were in there. And one of them was Hoggart from Labyrinth. And Zach said, I've never seen Labyrinth. And so we had run out of things to watch this week, and we had some time to kill. And so I said, hey, it's, do you want to watch Labyrinth? It's on Amazon Prime. So it's like, do you want to watch Labyrinth? And I remember Labyrinth being great. I remember Labyrinth being awesome. And wow, it's a tough rewatch. You know what I'm saying? It's a...
Do you think that overexposure to the way things are being made now and for the past few years, overexposure to that has lessened your tolerance for other forms of filmmaking, of other forms of entertainment? In other words, you mentioned earlier that you're a result of the MTV generation and fast cutting and quick scenes and all that stuff. Yeah.
But this wasn't an editing thing. This was just more of a outside of the 80s looking back. It's like the outfits that Bowie was wearing were ridiculous and had, you know, his lines were ridiculous. His lyrics were ridiculous. It was just one of those, it's like the music was very 80s. Everything about it was very 80s. And it was great in my memory back in the 80s, right? It's like, but now it's 2025 and it's like, I still love, you know, the puppetry was amazing. It was just in Sir Didymus is still one of my favorite characters of all times, but, it was just, wow. It was,
I think things can remain good or great even, but not be something that you maybe enjoy anymore because, you know, your tastes have changed.
Right. But now I'm trying to, you know, now
it doesn't make them less good.
Right. But I'm dragging someone else into it. Right. Like I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm telling someone else, hey, this is great. It's like telling one of your friends, hey, Buckaroo Banzai Adventures Across the Eighth Dimension is a great
Knott's Landing show. Is fantastic.
Hey, Auntie Scott.
Yes, darling.
Felton, California,
yes,
is the home of the train.
Correct. The Roaring Camp Railroad.
Now, if you were going to make a travel poster, like a vintage travel poster for the train ride, what would be the... You know, like, you know what I'm talking about with the vintage travel posters, you know, where it's like they're kind of lithographs, but up at the top that usually just has the name in big letters and then maybe a little tagline for it.
Well, it's called the Big Trees and Roaring Camp Railroad, I think. You'd have to look it up and find out exactly what the title of that train is. And then that would be the... Why are we designing this poster? Are we...
No reason. So, what would your tagline though for the train be? Like, you know, get your choo choo in the poo poo. And it was like, what would you like?
Yeah, I think get your choo choo in the poo poo. Either that, or I'm not similar to their flavonating, or their what? Editing isn't what I flavonated on the simulation of the editor Flavin.
You don't edit their style.
That's it. I don't edit their styling of the editing edit. I don't know. I don't fucking know. Something about choo-choo on your poo-poo. Yeah, that's just take a choo-choo on your poo-poo and see the trees.
Does the chat room have any suggestions.
Oh God, the chat room is still here. We haven't put them to fucking sleep.
We have Tim, we have Lamont, we have Kathy in the chat room.
Oh my God. Hi guys.
Is it Felton, California?
Felton, California. Roaring Camp. I think it's Big Trees and Roaring Camp or something like that, but it's definitely Roaring Camp Railroad.
So what we get, so I just want to say this out loud because I'm being my authentic self now, Auntie Scott. I don't know if you knew this.
I know.
But I feel a little tension in the room because I feel like you want a show. And I think what Daniel and I do is we just kind of like chat. So I think for next time we will actually do the Trello. Mm-hmm. And we will put topics in there. We will go through the topics and we will do an actual show. But I just want to say that out loud because I feel it. I feel it going on here.
I feel it.
Feeling it. You know, you're feeling it correctly. And once again, it's just, it wasn't a meeting of the minds is all. And it doesn't, it's not nothing. There's no right or wrong here. What it is you guys consider this, I think, as an alternate after show for your mix, which was the real show. And the after show is just very conversational and whatever leads whatever way. Well, I don't do an after show every week.
Right.
I do a show called Three's a Crowd with two dear friends. I can't say best. I'm sorry. Dear friends.
Your best friend is Uncle Drew, right?
You bet your ass.
Yeah.
You're not feeling tension because I'm not tense about it. But what I am is I'm thinking to myself, this is not a show. I am not being entertaining at all. I am not talking wonderful things. That's all.
So next time we will do the Trello. We've done Trello before. We'll do Trello. We will have topics. And we'll go through the topics and that'll be the show and we will be entertaining. We'll do all of that. Can I tap dance? Yeah. I don't know. Can you?
I can indeed.
Well, tap then, dance.
I had to learn for a musical review that I did.
What was the music? Oh, was that 5678?
A 5678.
You know that, I'm sure that you know this, Auntie Scott.
Yes.
And Daniel may know this. I don't know, but we just saw Funny Girl recently.
And who was Fanny Bryce in it?
Oh, it was just a traveling Broadway show. I don't know. I don't know who it was. I'm sorry. But she was a really good singer, really good singer. And, I didn't realize I had never seen that before. And there was some really cool tap dancing in it.
Yes. There's a number called Rat-a-tat-tat. Mm-hmm. There's the roller skating number, I think, has tap in it on roller skates. If they did the roller skating number.
They didn't do a roller skating number, but.
They did Rat-a-tat-tat, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, did you know that there was tap dancing in Funny Girl?
Me?
No, Daniel.
What was the question?
Did you know there was tap dancing in Funny Girl?
Funny Girl.
I've never seen Funny Girl. I've not seen Funny Girl as a play nor as a movie. I've not seen the movie either.
It's not your thing.
No. Thank you.
If you liked them and they did something for you, musicals, I would highly recommend Funny Girl with Barbara Streisand and Funny Lady, a sequel actually that so rare that sequels are as good as their, sometimes better than their original. But Funny Lady is good as well. And if you like Streisand, it's an absolute must. But that's not where you live, Daniel.
No.
I'm not quite sure where you live. Really? I know that you like the cartoon version of the Star Trek thing.
Oh, Lower Decks.
Lower Decks. And you love that.
Yes.
And trying to think of what I know, what else you watch on some kind of regular basis. And I don't.
So if I have a couple of things that I'll rewatch more than once. Here's the thing, Andy Scott. I was making a thing for you, so I was just trying to, you know, do that as
you were otherwise engaged.
I'm now done making the thing for you.
I'll tell you what I like.
Yes.
Procedurals. Well, yeah. I really like Absolutely. Procedurals.
Yeah. And the definition of a procedural is?
A procedural is a week-to-week show. It's like a case-of-the-week show where there's a story each episode. But then there are characters that have character arcs throughout the whole thing. So you build a relationship with these characters, and then there are individual stories.
Would it be safe to say that a procedural is self-contained stories? There may be overarching things throughout the season, but for the most part, you could mix up the order of the episodes. It wouldn't matter. Every episode kind of resolves itself.
Yeah, probably. And maybe
crime introduced, crime solved, punishment granted.
Yeah.
Like that's the procedural.
So like Knott's Landing is a procedural.
That's more of like a drama. Procedural would be like a medical thing or a cop thing or like a lawyer thing.
I was being facetious. Yeah. But the series that Drew and I have been really enjoying are British. For example, Father Brown is a British detective series. That's the one that stars Big Fatty. Now I can be on his opening. The guy that to me looks so much like Big Fatty, but it is just what you described. Every week there's something different going on with these people, but they're the same people.
It's a procedural because it's a case of the week.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there was a wonderful show, so hard to understand the Scottish accent, however, which I have trouble with Scottish for some reason. I don't have trouble with other English accents, but Scottish just gives me trouble. A show called Shetland, which was really just excellent acted and really interesting and great characterizations. And it took place on Shetland Island, which we've been to.
I've never been there.
I don't want to brag. Oh, it's unbelievable. It's gorgeous.
We're going to Scotland in July.
You're supposed to
I want to go to one of those little islands over there on that side of Scotland. It has the little islands.
You need to go to Scotland.
Like Isle of Skye or whatever.
Yeah.
But Shetland might be an option. I don't even know where that is, but
it's just the quaintest of the quaint, really, really great place.
So I put the picture that I made for you in the chat room, Andy Scott.
Okay, I've got to find the fucking chat room here.
Well, don't go to the fucking chat room. That's a different chat room altogether.
Thank you. That's
or you can share your screen and show it in Zoom as well.
I'm going to go to the chat room.
He's
going
to go to the chat room.
Probably completely shut everything down here. Okay. Oh, look. Shut down. Okay. Felton, California, put your choo-choo in your poo-poo.
Put the choo-choo in your poo-poo.
Put the choo-choo in your poo-poo. I love it, Daniel. I love it. I'm going to print it out, and I'm going to hang it in my room.
Are you
going to
put it on the fridge?
No. I'll hang it up and put it in my room. Oh, look at all the people that have been talking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Tim sent me some PDFs of Chair House.
Oh.
Anybody that names their house, although we call our house Lady Gray, so I guess I don't have any room to talk.
We don't have a name for our house.
We don't either.
Ours is Lady Gray because it's the only gray house on the block. And I can't remember exactly how it got Lady Gray. It had to do with Gray Gardens. Have you boys seen the documentary Gray Gardens?
I don't think so. And I like documentaries, but what's it about? Because I'm not good with titles.
Okay. It's like the saying... The documentary Grey Gardens is like saying the movie Citizen Kane. Grey Gardens is one of the most classic documentaries ever. It is about, it's going to sound incredibly dull. And Daniel would find it so, especially the editing. The ebbing is not up to Slavin terms.
I have seen Grey Gardens, I believe.
You've seen Grey Gardens.
I know that I saw something that was based on Grey Gardens.
Oh, well, that means you've seen Grey Gardens.
Let me finish. And then after I saw the thing that I think had, what's her name in it? Claire Danes. It had like Claire Danes in it. It's like, after I saw the thing about Grey Gardens, I was like, oh, I should watch Grey Gardens. And Grey Gardens was a choice on that streaming service.
Did you see the movie with Drew Barrymore and Jessica Lange? Is that what you saw?
Perhaps that. And then
it looks very interesting, but I have not seen it.
So then because I saw that, I went and saw.
Adam, it's a must. If you like documentaries.
I do.
It's a must because these two women that the gentlemen go and document their lives are like no people you've ever seen before. And
they're crazy.
It's just astounding. What did you say?
They're crazy.
They are crazy. They're batshit crazy, but
they live in a derelict mansion. So they live in a mansion, but run down.
They were filthy rich. And then circumstances and life and whatever else, their money went away and their house fell apart and they're still in there with their cats. It's a little on the spooky side, but you cannot look away from it. It's 120 years old. This thing was, Kathy just said, and the raccoons, there's a whole family of raccoons that live upstairs and she feeds them cat food. And it's totally and completely fascinating. Fell in love with documentaries.
Well, let's change. Is it streaming anywhere? We could just watch a documentary for next time. Daniel hasn't seen it. I haven't seen it.
Daniel said he saw Grey Gardens.
Oh, you have seen it. Okay. Never mind. I'll just watch it.
Never mind.
I'll do a book report.
I will tell you where it's at, though.
Are you going to canistream.it?
No, I'm just going to justwatch.com. Helps if I spell gray the correct way. You can, it is available on Macs.
We have Macs.
Yeah. So you can see it on Macs.
I might watch it right after this.
When you're waiting for your food to be delivered?
Yeah.
And you're falling asleep?
So.
Yes.
So, okay. So Zach left. As I mentioned, at like 3 a.m. to go do his 5K. And because it's a 5K, those go really fast. So he was back home before 7 a.m. So when I got up this morning, laying on our kitchen counter is the Run Disney food box. These are the greatest things ever. When you finish your race, they hand you your medal. Right.
Yeah.
They hand you a banana. They hand you a Powerade or a bottled water, whichever one you want. And then they give you the coveted Run Disney food box. So you get one per racer as you go through. You get the coveted Run Disney race box. And now that it is officially.
So did you eat it?
No, because it's not a cheat day, but now it's 12:52 a.m., which means it is a cheat day. So now I'm thinking there's a Run Disney treat box.
It's his though, right? Not eating
it? He didn't want it.
Oh. Auntie Scott, are you going to eat anything when we're done?
No.
Why? Okay.
I had my one meal for today.
What was it?
A salad with the turkey breast.
Because you guys rotate the days now. You don't, it's not like Friday and Saturday are always
Every fourth day is the party. Yeah.
So when's your next party?
Monday.
Monday. Cool.
Why, thank you for asking, Kathy Marshall. The Run Disney food box consists of some kind of, like Skittles or something like that, like a tiny pack of Skittles. Some fruit chews. It comes with a stinger, which is a like kind of a, it's like a stroopwafel kind of a thing, but it can be any flavor, either honey or salted caramel or something like that. It comes with baked tortilla chips and the fakest cheese that you've ever seen in your life. Like, it's that plastic cheese that they have at Disney that you would dip your, that you would dip your pretzel
the
in.
The nacho whatever. Cheese.
Yeah, but it's
the
not.
The nacho cheese.
There's nothing real about it. It's just chemicals. And it's like those on the, and after you've run and you eat that crappy cheese on those tortillas, it is the best. It's just the best ever.
So you're going to be eating that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Recently, they've been putting toast in it.
Toast? Toast wouldn't be good anymore.
No, it's some kind of weird toast that's in a little package, and it's... I'm sorry, okay. Auntie Scott, did I upset you with this? It's like, do you have a problem with toast?
I'm laughing to myself.
You buried your hand.
Because I am laughing at the fact that we're talking about toast in a Disney run box.
Yeah.
And it just tickled me.
Do you want to see it?
Now, I don't have any, as my mother used to say, you've got no room to talk. I don't have any room to talk because I didn't come to this party with, oh, I've got so much to talk about. Right. I walked up the stairs to do this and I thought, what the fuck have I got? I don't live a life anymore of any interest whatsoever. I get up in the morning. I come in here. I put on YouTube. I have some coffee. I go ride my recumbent bike. I clean up something that needs to be cleaned up. And then I go sit down and watch television. Oh, and I'm not even talking in my microphone now.
No, you're not.
I can't bitch and moan if my sound quality is bad. Forgive me.
That's okay.
So you're right.
Well,
I love both of you,
but I'm feeling very uncomfortable at the moment. Why? So, so I would like to say, let's have a really structured show next time. And let's just like say, hey, we're going to end this show.
Oh, he wants to wrap it up.
I want to wrap it up.
Why do you want
to? No, we can keep talking, but I want to wrap up what we're calling the show.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
So we can keep talking, but I feel like the show part of it doesn't have to keep going.
Right.
There was a show.
Right.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
What I'm saying.
Why are you being that way, Auntie Scott? Of course there was a show. It was a great show. We talked about things. We learned that you can't edit the style. We watched it. Oh, that was fast. Oh, good. It's going to repeat. Anyway,
knock on our door.
Thank you, Auntie Scott.
Big fat old whore.
Thank you, Adam. And we'll catch you
Daniel.
Next time. On
yeah.
Three is a crowd.
Three is a fucking crowd.
Why is it repeating?
Three's Company was videotaped in front of a studio audience.
Oh, we should do that. Can you do that real fast?
Three's a crowd was photographed in front of a studio audience.
Photographed?
Three's a crowd was recorded in a Flavin with editing.